Last week, the message was, why was Peter, James, and John privileged to do things the other nine did not get to do? I tried to show it's because he was rewarding them according to their dedication, not because the Lord is cliquish or showing favorites. That would be against the very nature of God himself. Because it is true, we realize the importance of dedication. That is so important in the day we live, because the Bible says that in the last days the love of many would wax cold. They would not have the dedication. Dedication is important in so many areas. Your zeal, your faithfulness, your dedication. Again, that's why he rebuked the king in the Old Testament for his lack of zeal in beating the ground with the arrows only three times, when the prophet said you should have at least beat them five or six times. That is why the Lord said to the church in Revelation that you need to repent, but when you do repent, put some zeal behind your repentance. We can think of Saul when he decided to repent. And when he said to Samuel, I've sinned, but now honor me before the people. His repentance didn't go very deep. Samuel knew this and would not allow Saul's request. So God rewards dedication in many areas. He said to Abraham, the first time we find this word in the Old Testament, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Not just reward, exceeding great reward. This reward comes in so many ways. It depends upon what you do. Psalms 19, 9 through 11 said, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is a great reward. Psalms 58:11, so that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Psalms 40, verse 10, behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. Psalms 62:11, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, that be us, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Jeremiah 31:16, thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. There was a time in David's life, this man after God's own heart, who had great zeal. But one day David asked the question in Psalm 73. Remember, this is the one who said, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so does my soul panteth after thee, O God. But in Psalm 73, we find these words. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Wait a minute, David, how can your feet slip? You said that God took you out of the miry clay and set you upon a solid rock and established your going. But now you're saying that your feet almost slipped. What is going on? You're contradicting yourself, David. What's up with that? But if you read on in Psalm 73, you find that the answer is because this one took his eyes off of the Lord and put them upon people. And David is questioning in that Psalms, what good does it do to live for God? I'm living for God, and I look out and I see the sinner, and he seems to be just as blessed as I am. What good does it do? And David said, not until I went into the house of God and God showed me his end, that then I realized. My friend Charlie McLaren years ago was driving down the road. He was having it rough, having a hard time making ends meet when he saw a man driving down the road. And Charlie for a moment said, his thoughts immediately said, man, look at that guy. He's got this beautiful car and I bet he's got the world by the tail. And here I am living for God and putting God first and seeking God and I'm barely getting by. And then he said the Lord spoke to him. Without him even calling upon the Lord said, would you like me to show you his end? And he realized that as Jesus perhaps said to the man that did his giving in front of everyone, verily he has his reward. He got it at the moment. But there is a reward that awaits those. Oh, by the way, pray for Charlie. He almost died. His gallbladder exploded on him Tuesday night, and I hadn't heard from him and called. He'd been on my heart and got him at the hospital. He said he wasn't feeling good. He was here Monday and then drove home, didn't feel good that night, stayed in bed all day Tuesday. And then that night he said, man, he said, I lost it. He said, I saw a white light. He said, I thought I was going to leave. But I couldn't even, I was hurting so much, I couldn't even call 911. He was bent over, and finally, after 15 minutes of excruciating pain, he was able to call, and then the pain came on him again. He couldn't talk, but finally they came, and so he's at the hospital. They did emergency surgery and removed his gallbladder, but thank the Lord for his goodness, but continue to pray for him that infection doesn't set in. But the point that I want us to see is God does reward his children. The Bible says in another place, he is a debtor to no man. That means that everything you do, the Holy Ghost keeps a good record of it, and God pays all bills. And Abraham was rewarded for his zeal. I brought out how when Abraham saw the angels, he ran to meet them. Unlike Lot, who didn't have quite the dedication and zeal, he walked to meet the angel. Abraham, when his servants got into a little division with Lot's servants, Abraham said, listen, there's no need to have this fighting going on. Here's all the land. You take what part of the land you want. And so Lot, being kind of thinking of himself and not honoring Abram, and you reap what you sow, but he took the well-watered field. But because of Abram's wonderful giving nature, that is why the Lord said, I am thy exceeding great reward. God rewarded Abraham even for his giving there. You see, we do reap what we sow. God doesn't pay all his bills when he thinks he should, but you can make no mistake, or you can surely understand this, he is a debtor to no man. He does reward. He keeps good Holy Ghost records. He cannot lie. And today I want to speak about being dedicated to the Lord, but not just for yourself, but understanding that being dedicated has rewards that go beyond your own self and that others can be blessed because of your own dedication. Do you remember the time when Jesus sent his disciples out into the kingdom? And the disciples were very thrilled because they were having great results and wonderful things were happening. And they came back rejoicing. And Jesus brought out a wonderful truth that we can take to heart. Jesus said, I sent you to labor, or I sent you to reap, excuse me, where other men have labored. And you have entered into their labors. That means that somebody, before the disciples got there, sowed the ground and got it ready. And that means someone came along behind them and planted the seed. And then that means someone behind them came along and watered the seed. And then that means someone came along and as the tree was growing and fruit, they continued to keep it clean from the things that could destroy the fruit. And so the disciples came and they got to just pick the fruit. And so Jesus says, You got to enter into other men's labors. So that means that those that labored before did not get rewarded personally for the fruit that they had personally planted the seed into the ground. I'm sure God rewarded them, and it brings to pass that truth that Paul says that one sows and another reaps, but it's God that gives the increase, but it's the Lord that rewards each one that does his part. And so the Bible says that the kingdom, that some get the soil ready. Some come along and they plant the seed, and some come along and they water the seed that was planted as it begins to grow, and then some come along and they keep the weeds out, and then some come along and they get to pick the fruit. I remember when we were pioneering a church in Wairika, in the backyard, we brought in some manure, mixed it in the soil, got a rototiller and tilled it up, and then I planted some corn. And I mean, I had the nicest looking corn growing, and had about five rows of corn, and it was about this high, and the corn was not ripe yet, but it was getting there. And I'd go out and look at it, and no, don't pick it yet. And then the Lord moved on us to resign and to go to White Salmon, where we were the next there 23 years. I never got to pick my corn. I thought, well, what about my corn? Somebody else came in and got the corn. And I only say that somebody else got my reward or was able to reap where I had labored. And I want us to see, as Christians, God rewards you in ways that are going to happen that you don't even see. But human nature, unfortunately, at times will often think, well, how will it help me? What good will it do? How's this going to affect me? And I want to say there isn't anything that you do that God doesn't keep a record of, and his wisdom and his nature will see to it that you're repaid. He is debtor to no man. Let me give some illustrations of how this may apply. I remember when the Lord moved on me to leave home and to be a youth pastor. And at the time, I remember that was such a great struggle for me, because I thought, but my father is not saved. And my mother's doing the best she can to bring my father to the Lord, but she knew the teaching in Peter, you don't win them by nagging them, but by your living the life in front of them. I said, well, that's maybe for my mother, but who's going to be there to pray for my daddy, and who's going to be there to try to witness to him as the Lord would lead? But I had to obey the Lord and leave home. And I remember when I did leave home, if I would see a gentleman, there were dozens of older men I would see. I would go up to them and I would open up a conversation and begin to talk to them about the Lord. And part of my motive was this, and I have no problem admitting it. I used to think, well, perhaps the Lord will see me, what I'm doing to this one, and reward myself by sending someone to my daddy to talk to them. And it took years, but my father did come to the Lord. I believe that God does see everything that you do. He sees the little widow that gives her two mites. He sees the person that prays in secret. He will reward openly, in spite of the scriptures that exhort us not to look on our own affairs, but look on the affairs of others. There's times that our dedication stops because we wonder, well, how will this affect other than myself? But may I encourage you to be faithful at all times. The Bible says, whatever thy hand find to do, do it with all thy might. Those four lepers in the Old Testament, when they finally got to the enemy's camp and began to enjoy the spoils and eat, they said, and wisely so, we do not well to be here by ourselves and just to enjoy this for ourselves. We need to go back and to give it to others. I want you to realize he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And your dedication doesn't just stop when you die. your reward can go on to affect your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Listen, if the Bible says in the Old Testament, and I don't totally understand all of the implications, perhaps to some degree I do, it said the sins of the fathers or the iniquities of the fathers will be visited upon the third and fourth generation. How many remember reading that? If that be true, how much more will it be the righteousness and the prayers of the saints will be visited upon the third and fourth generation also? And for that reason, I want to encourage you. You may think, well, how does this be living affect, I'm okay. Listen, your dedication and your prayers are stored up in heaven to be poured back out in showers of blessing upon your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. When Jesus was on the cross, do you remember those sobering words when he said, "Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and weep for your children. For if they've done this unto a green tree, what shall be done unto a dry?" The theology behind it is Jesus was the green tree, in him was no sin, but he could die. But he was referring to that there is coming a destruction to Jerusalem that we find in another place. But he knew as he looked out to those, don't just weep for me, don't just pray for me, intercede for yourself and for your children. Jesus knew of the destruction that was coming to Jerusalem, and it came in 70 AD. And Josephus says that when Titus, who was told by his commanding officer, this general, surrounded Jerusalem and cut off the food supply, that Israel within Jerusalem began to starve. And then just as Jesus said, when you see the armies encompassed about and they leave, then Jesus said, you are to flee into the mountains. If you're on the rooftop, you don't go down and get your stuff, you flee. And that's exactly what history says happened. Titus, as he had besieged Jerusalem, God orders by Titus, and he had to tell his troops to withdraw and to go fight another battle. It was the Christians who remembered the words of Jesus that they immediately knew this was the opening door the Lord had told them when to leave, and they left. And Josephus says that all of the Christians found mercy and was able to not experience the destruction that came. But Jesus was letting them know that their prayers would have an effect, and they did, not only upon them, but their children also. And so may we realize that your prayers and your dedication is not just the reward for you. It's like you're putting in a heavenly bank account things of protection for your children and your children's children and the third and fourth generation. Yes, he rewards in so many ways that we may not be considering. Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross and he looked out and he said, John, behold thy mother. Or John, take care of my mother. John did. I've often imagined that John would have been rewarded for that, taking care of his mother. We don't know all of the ways that he was rewarded. But one of the ways that I believe that John was rewarded, along many other reasons of his dedication, is when he's 90 years old on the island of Patmos. John was able to experience an incredible revelation and see the glory of the Lord like no one has hardly ever seen. I've often wondered, I wonder if John was being rewarded for taking care of his mother. You see, anything you do for the Lord will pay back and reward. And may we take that to heart. The truth is, throughout the Bible, we find this. You know that your dedication can extend mercy to your children and to your children's children? You say, where do you find that in the Bible? Oh, it's there. Do you remember? You'll find that David is king. And David has a lot of dedication. And David, oh, he loves his God, but David dies. And David has grandchildren that sat on the throne. And one of those grandchildren wasn't as godly as David was. And God said to that grandson or great-grandson of David, I'd remove you off the throne, except for your grandfather David, for David's sake. You know, I believe that our dedication has an effect. Likewise, God is no respecter of persons upon our children's children's children. The Bible runs through this. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Are you praying? Is God storing up your prayers? And some of them won't come back to you, but they can come back to your children's children. Because he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In the Old Testament, the prophet said to one of the prophets, was asked to prophesy. The king said, come prophesy. And here's what the prophet said. For you, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't give you a prophecy. But he said, I knew your father. And because I knew your father, I'm going to go ahead and prophesy. There again, we have the dedication of the father being passed on down to his children's children. Thank God we in our country, and the truth is, thank God for Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. How many know we're reaping some of the labors that they did? If you love your children, if you love your grandchildren, if you love your great-grandchildren, if you won't be dedicated for yourself, then for God's sake and their sake, be dedicated for their sake, because your dedication is passed on to the third and fourth generation. And so that ought to motivate us. Can I hear an amen? Remember, some say when the Lord talked about this principle of reward, some will come. I mean, there ain't a thing you don't do that God doesn't see it. Remember those that came to the Lord and the Lord was ready to reward him, and they said, Lord, when did we do this for you? And Jesus said, as much you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. You see, everything you do, God sees. I'm going to close with a story that is one of my favorites in the Bible. It's the story of Elisha. Look at his dedication. When Elijah called him as he was plowing, he left his plow and went and followed Elisha. And he served Elisha. He did the menial things, the things behind the scene that often are overlooked. But God saw it. And came the day when Elijah knew that the Lord was going to take him. And the sons of the prophets knew. They went to Elijah and even told Elisha, knowest thou not that thy master shall be taken from thee today? And Elisha said, hold your peace, I know it. But Elijah asked Elisha, what is it you want, Elisha? And he said, I want twice the anointing that I have seen you have and operated by. And Elijah said, you've asked for a hard thing. But nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken, you will get your request. And we find there were four biblical places that Elisha followed Elijah from, or to. First was Gilgal, a place of beginning, and then Bethel, and then there was Jericho, and then the last one was Jordan. Each of those can have a biblical teaching behind it. But he followed him. He was dedicated. And he's going to be rewarded for his dedication. Remember, that's what he requested. And sure enough, when the Lord decided to take Elijah, came down that chariot of fire in a whirlwind. And Elisha looked up and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof, I see you. And Elisha takes off his mantle and he throws it down. And Elisha is going to be rewarded more than he'll ever know. And Elisha picks up the mantle and he walks over to the River Jordan, and he takes that mantle, and the sons of the prophets that afar stood off and are watching this incredible scene, and Elisha takes it, and he smites the waters, and he says, "Let the God of Elijah appear again." And the waters opened up, and Elisha walked through. Now we know that Elisha is going to get his request, and that Elisha, his dedication is being rewarded. Elijah did 7 major miracles, and Elisha, we have recorded of 13. But then Elisha dies, and people wonder, where is the 14th miracle? Because he asked for twice the anointing. And we have recorded of 13, but we don't have twice. That would be 14. And here's what happened. Elisha is dead, and they buried him in a pit. And one day some people came along, and they were going to bury a man in the pit that Elisha had been buried in. The flesh had rotted off of his bones, and the only thing that was in the pit was the bones of Elisha. And the Bible says, when they took this dead man and they threw him into the pit where Elisha lay, that the moment that that man's body, dead as it was, hit the bones of Elisha, life came back into him. And that man stood up in that pit and said, "Now this is me. What happened to me?" And somebody said, "You've just been with a man of God." But here's what I want you to see. The anointing and the prayers and the dedication of Elisha still traveled on past his death and affected those. And that's why Hebrews says, "Though being dead, yet speaketh." Sister Watson, if the Lord should tarry and he should take you, your prayers will still have an effect upon your children and your children and your children. Brother Henry, the same. And for that reason, may we recognize the importance of prayer and dedication, because it will affect those when we're gone. Debbie, would you come? There's a man that is known as Jonathan Edwards. He was so dedicated, and why God chose to reward him this way, I do not know. But there have been 12 generations after Jonathan Edwards that every one of his children have been called into the ministry. Brother Jim Davis, my friend, had a man in his church that was a descendant of Jonathan Edwards, and he also was called into the ministry. You don't call yourself, God does. You have an effect. How many love your kids? Be dedicated. Your dedication affects others. Abraham's dedication affected Lot. Abraham's dedication affected the 8 souls in the ark. And the man that said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." I don't totally understand, but I don't know this. Your dedication is not just for yourself. It affects others. And after you're dead and gone, if Jesus should tarry, he bottles up those prayers and pours them back out. I'd remove you from being king, but because of your granddaddy David, I'm letting you stay on the throne. I have a dear friend. You don't know him. He failed in the ministry greatly. He was so ashamed. He came to me in tears and said, "I was praying and asking God why his mercy was so good to me. I deserve so much more punishment than what I had done." And he said the Lord spoke to him and said, "It was because of your father. I'm being merciful to you." Would you stand with me? No wonder Jesus said, we're to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive those that trespass against us. No wonder Job prayed, Lord, if my children have sinned, forgive them. He said, no, they got to pray. Listen, your prayers affect your children more than you realize. And I just want you to know they will sin. But your prayers can have a great effect. Let's come and find a place to pray, shall we? May we rededicate ourselves to the Lord for more reasons than just ourselves. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord.